The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 through 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from James, chapter 5, beginning at the 7th verse. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. You did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am a good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, even when technology fails us. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak your word to us, and we would hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. Amen. I want to read to you the description and definition of love as given by some children. Chrissy, age 6, says, love is when you go out to eat and you give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Terry, age 4, says, Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Noel, age 7, says, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6, says, love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. Jessica, age 8, says, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Advent and Christmas is an extended annual time when we hear again and again God's words, I love you, to us. And Jessica was right, we do tend to forget. And so especially in this season, we are reminded again and again and again of God's immense love for us. And it's important for us to understand that God's love is active love. When the Bible speaks of God's love, it is constantly showing that he put that love, he puts his love for us into practice. His love is displayed through his work in the world on our behalf. And throughout the Bible, God's love for his people is displayed, is enacted through his actions for us. For example, one of my favorite psalms of the Old Testament, Psalm 136, has the refrain at the end of each of its 26 verses, the same words, his steadfast love endures forever. Throughout the psalm, it describes what God has done. There's a short phrase of something that God has done followed by this refrain, his steadfast love endures forever. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt. His steadfast love endures forever. He brought Israel out from among them. His steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate. Steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes. His steadfast love endures forever. And the point of Psalm 136 and throughout the Bible is that God's love for his people is displayed. It's enacted. It's put into practice through his marvelous action on our behalf. And especially in Advent and Christmas, we celebrate and remember and praise God for displaying his love among us. We do tend to forget. And so we celebrate and commemorate again God's loving action for us on our behalf, the way that God showed his love for us. And so in this season, we remember that God displays, God shows, God enacts his love for us by giving us his Son. God loved the world so much that he did something about it. He loves us enough to actually do something about our plight. God loves us and he puts that love into action through giving his Son for us. Probably the most well-known Bible verse in our society is what? John 3:16. Even if you're new to Christianity, even if you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing, you've probably heard of that verse. Even if you don't know what it says, you probably at least know the phrase, John 3:16. If you grew up in the church, if you've been a Christian for a long time, this is probably one of the first Bible verses you memorized. You probably heard it enough times that you may well have memorized it without trying to memorize it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. And I want to draw your attention to one little word in that sentence, the word we translate so. Now, as a general policy of mine, I try not to bring up things like Greek and Hebrew in a sermon, mostly because we can make the point without drawing attention to the original language that it was written in. But occasionally, I think it's helpful. And John 3:16, I think, is one of those places. And the word so in this is not actually an interesting word in any way, shape, or form. It's just a simple adverb. But in English, we sometimes actually miss the point of what's being said very clearly. The point here is not God loved the world so much. That's not what so means here. Now, that is absolutely true. God loved the world immensely, but that's not the main point here. It's not about the quantity of God's love in this verse. The point here is God loves the world like so. God loved the world in this way. This is how God loves the world, that he gave his only son. Your Bible may actually have a footnote to that effect to try to draw attention to it. If you're borrowing one of the black Bibles we have in the back, there's a footnote at the bottom specifically to let you know what's going on here. What it means is, this is how God loved the world, that he gave his only son. That's the gift of Christmas. God gave his only son to us and for us. As it says in Isaiah, speaking of Jesus, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." God displays his love for us by giving his one and only son to us and for us. In the church where I grew up, we had an annual Christmas Day service. Now, this church doesn't typically have a Christmas Day service, but we are having one this year because Christmas is a Sunday. So it will be a shortened service, but it will be a special Christmas Day service, 10:30 normal time. Come, as I said, it will be a little bit shorter and a little bit different, but we will have a special Christmas Day service. But this church where I grew up, we had a Christmas Day service every year. It was a simple service. We probably had about 50 people show up each year. And it was interesting because the sermon was always word for word exactly the same. Literally, exactly the same every single year. And those who came knew what was coming, and that was part of the joy of coming to the service, because they knew what was going to happen. Each year, those who attended were asked to bring a Christmas gift that they received to the service. And over time, people sort of really had fun with it. They would bring sort of the silly thing that they got, but they would bring a gift that they received. And the sermon every year consisted of what we called blessing the toy. And that would be, we would literally go around one at a time to each person in the room, and they would hold up the gift that they brought. And they would say, a book, or a teddy bear, or for whatever reason, I remember Matthew Morrison one time bringing in a little pig figurine and saying, an itty-bitty pig, whatever it was. And then the whole room would respond with the same words in unison, bless, O Lord, this itty-bitty pig, and use it to remind us of Jesus, the greatest gift of all. And then we would go to the next person, and it would be a book or whatever, and we would say the same words, bless, O Lord, this widget, and use it to remind us of Jesus, the greatest gift of all. Dozens of times, every year, every single year. I mean, I have heard and said that sentence hundreds of times. God displayed his love for us. He put it into action by giving his son, Jesus, the greatest gift of all. God loved the world like so. This is how God loved the world. This is how God loves you. God is not distant, looking on, waiting for you to get your act together in order to come find him. God comes among us. That's part of why we read the gospel each Sunday in the middle of the room, as a reminder of the Christmas message, that God comes among us. He's not distant and far off. He comes among us. This is how God loves you and loves me. And in this Advent and Christmas season, we're reminded again of this immeasurable love and this gift that God gives to us. God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only son. Now, God gave his only son to us, to the world, but you know what? You realize Jesus didn't actually save anybody by being born, right? Jesus didn't actually save anybody by being born. Jesus' birth, God becoming a man, is an incredible, earth-shattering mystery. But the incarnation, God himself becoming one of us, doesn't actually in itself save anybody. If Jesus had been born and that was it, that would not have actually accomplished what we so desperately need. God displays his love for us by giving us his son, and that giving involves his life, his birth, certainly, and also his death and resurrection. According to our reading from John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus not only comes to us, but he gives his life for us. That is how God loves the world. That is how God loves you. God puts his love into action through giving himself for us and through Jesus dying and rising for us to bring the new creation that God has been promising all along. Jesus lovingly and willingly becomes one of us in order to fix our deepest problem and bring us back to God. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was in for. And he shows his love by becoming one of us and laying down his life for us. A family was in a very serious car accident. And the youngest son, named Mike, was badly injured and ended up needing a blood transfusion. Now, his older brother, Danny, who was himself only about 8 years old, was the same blood type. And so Danny's dad explained to Danny, the 8-year-old, the older brother, how important it was for Mike, the younger, to have blood, and how great it would be if Danny could help him out. And there was silence for a while, and then Danny looked at his dad and said, "Yes, Daddy, I'll give my blood so Mike can get better." And so they drew some blood from Danny the older and gave it to Mike the younger. And once they were done drawing blood, Danny looked up at his dad with tears running down his face and said, "Daddy, when do I die?" And suddenly the dad realized that the son thought he was going to give his life for his brother. He didn't realize that he was just giving some of his blood. He just didn't understand until that point. But Jesus did give his life. God himself became a human being, became one of us on that first Christmas, and shows his love, puts that into action by willingly laying down his life for us to defeat sin and death through his and death and resurrection. Like the good shepherd that Jesus is, he laid down his life for us that we might have life with God. This is how God loves us. There was a medieval monk who announced one day that he would be preaching the following Sunday evening on the topic of the love of God. And so the next week, as evening came, the cathedral became dark, and as the congregation gathered in the dark. And in the darkness of the sanctuary, the monk lit a single candle and carried it to the crucifix. And he held up the candle to Jesus' head and simply illuminated the crown of thorns. And next, he held it to each of Jesus' hands and showed the nails in his hands and wrists. And then he held it up to Jesus' side where the spear had wounded him. And then in the quiet of the room, he just blew out the candle and left. There was nothing else to say about the love of God. The love of God was displayed fully on that cross. In a world longing for true and lasting love, we need look no further than the cross. On the cross, God himself suffered and died for us. On the cross, God took our sin and separation upon himself. And on the cross, God told us and showed us how much he loves us. And in the season of Advent, we're also reminded not only of Jesus' birth, not only of Jesus' death and resurrection and the love that he's displayed in that, we're also reminded in this season that Jesus will come again. Jesus will display his love for his people in coming again and finally putting all things right. And we look forward to the day when God's love will be seen face to face with the curtain pulled back completely and we see his love full force. God is not distant, out there, far away, waiting for us. God has come among us. He is among us, and He is coming one day to finally give us what we were made for, completely restored relationship with Him. No more distance, no more pain, no more effects of sin, no more waiting for Him. Jesus will return, and His second advent, we will know Him and see Him face to face, and He will display His love for us in coming to us again and putting all things right. And so in the season of Advent and Christmas, we look again, of course, at the birth of the baby in the manger. We look again to the inexpressible miracle of God becoming one of us and coming among us in the person of Jesus. We look with awe at the God who loved us by giving that ultimate Christmas gift, His own Son. And we look with amazement at that baby in the manger, Emmanuel, God with us, because we know why He came. We remember that the baby, God Himself, God incarnate, lived and taught and showed us God's love, ultimately through dying in our place and rising to new life and bringing us new and lasting life with God. So as we approach Christmas, hear again the message of this season, that God loved the world in this way, that He gave His only Son. And that Son, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd of love who lays down His life for His sheep, that we may know Him and serve Him and follow Him and be transformed by Him. And Jesus does not leave us alone. He will display His ultimate love for us by returning and giving us the fullness of new life in Him. Jesus said, "For God loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son." And He gave that Son, Jesus, who will one day return for us. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." And so in this season, may we all come face to face with the God of love who came among us, God who sent His Son to rescue us, and who will come again one day to put all things right. And so may we look with hope and joy and peace to the God of love, born on Christmas, that He might lay down His life for us. Amen.